Amen. I'll tell you where we're going in a minute. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you so much for your presence. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now, Father, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice will have open ears to hear your word. In the name of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I bind up any distraction, anything that would attempt to keep them from hearing the word of God, and anything that would keep them from being focused on your word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I pray, Father God, that they will have hearing ears, and I pray, Father God, that they will have an open heart to receive your word, because you've already declared to us that your word would never, ever, ever return to you void. But it is at work in our lives as we receive it by faith and walk in obedience to it. And so we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for the honor and the privilege of ministering your word. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name, shout somebody, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And last week, we began at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32, 33, and 34, I believe it was. We won't go there at this time. But it talks about the heroes of faith and how they were strong and strong in faith, and they overcame because of their faith in God. They heard from God, and then they moved out upon what they heard. Abraham is a good example of that. God told him to get out of your own country. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere. Number one, Abraham knew he heard God.
Amen.
Let me say that again. Abraham knew he heard from God.
Amen.
Amen. He knew he heard the voice of God. So it wasn't presumption. He moved out in true faith, having heard from God. But you know what? All he had to go on was God's word. He believed God. He believed God. So these patriarchs, heroes of faith, they didn't have a whole lot to go on, but they had God's word on it. And they moved accordingly. And God honored their faith. If you believe this, I want you to lift your right hand towards heaven and make this confession: my God honors my faith.
My God honors my faith.
Hallelujah. Amen. He honors our faith in his word first. And yes, we are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
Amen. We're led by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit will never tell any of us to do anything that contradicts or go contrary-wise God's word. The Word of God tells us the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, what? Agree. They agree. Amen. Hallelujah. So, now, my subject, I told you last week, and I'm continuing again this week, is choices. Choosing to be strong. Choosing to be strong. God is looking for a strong church. Can I get amen right there?
Amen.
God is looking for a strong church. But Grab a hold of this now. God is looking for a strong church, but you cannot have a strong church without strong individuals. I think I need to say that again. We cannot have a strong church without strong individuals, because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of individuals. Hallelujah. So it is our responsibility to grow. Not just remain static, just there. God's called us to grow. And to grow stronger in Him. So having said that, you should have Hebrews. I mean, I keep calling Ephesians Hebrews. It's not. You should have Ephesians chapter 6 now, right? Yeah. All right, let's go where we went last week. Verse 10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, you see that? Finally, my brethren, be strong. See that? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. I ministered a while back on the subject of finishing strong. Any of you remember that message? A few of you do, yeah. Finishing strong. It's important that we finish strong. Too many have fallen by the wayside. They gave up. They became discouraged. Situations and circumstances kept coming after them, coming after them, coming after them. Finally, they got frustrated and say, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fighting the good fight of faith. Let me tell you something. Can I help you all with something? As long as you are on this earth, you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. You hear me? You're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because Satan hadn't been thrown in the pit yet. And by the way, if you're born again, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, by the time he's thrown in the pit, we'd be all be out of here anyway. Be caught up. So really, I should say it this way. We are going to have to fight the good fight of faith until the day we depart this earth and go be with the Lord, or the day that we are caught up together with Him in the clouds. But until that time, we are going to have to fight the good fight of faith. That's the reason we feed on this daily. It's called our daily bread. You hear me? It's called our daily bread. Our daily bread. Amen. So let me read verse 10 to you again. We'll move on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I would recommend at your free time or your time of Bible study that you read the rest of this sixth chapter, because there's some things that we need to do. Am I right? Amen. But now, I told you last week that according to, matter of fact, let's go ahead and go there right quick. Let me see if I can find it again. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. I want to go back there again. I was there last week. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you have your notepads, whatever it is you take notes on, because I don't mind you taking notes in this church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have to shout, go ahead and get your shout on, and then pick your pencil and pad up again and continue. Hallelujah. But listen, what the Apostle Paul told Timothy. He says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Amen. Now, I'm not going to re-preach what I did last week, but I just want to hit some areas. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, a simple definition for grace is simply this: God's unmerited favor, or God's unearned favor. Amen. You was a drug addict, but because of God's favor, because of God's grace, you're free today. And many of you may not be the same thing this brother was going through, but you had issues. If you had issues when you got saved, raise your hand. And you know what? It should be unanimous. Amen. It should be unanimous. We might have had different issues, but all of us had issues. And it's because of the grace of God. It's because God chose us, even though we were so unworthy. That's the reason the Word of God says, by grace we're saved, through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I'm born again today not because I was such a good fella and God looked down and said, oh, Jimmy there, I like him. He's a good fella. I believe I'm going to save him. No, it didn't work that way. No. Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Amen. Say, that includes me.
Amen.
Yeah, all of us have sinned and come short. Because we couldn't work our way to heaven. We couldn't work hard enough to meet God's approval. All of our works are like filthy rags. Why, Pastor? And you know, I try so hard. I sing on the choir. I do this. I do that. I do the other. I'm trying to work my way to heaven. Why won't God recognize my good works? It's because you have been born into a fallen world. You are a sinner in need of a Savior. All of us were. We were sinners in need of a Savior. So works don't get it. But believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, giving our hearts to Him, receiving Him into our life as our Lord and Savior, that's where we begin. Now, the works that I do now, I do them because I love Him. I know where I'm going when I leave Him.
Amen.
I thought I'd have got more amens than that.
Amen.
I know where I'm going when I leave here. I'm going to be with the Lord, not because of my works, but because of His grace. He chose me in my fallen state and changed my life. He changed your life. I share this sometime. I'm not going to share the whole thing. It'll take too long. But I was taught as a child that, and some of you were taught that too, and others of you are going to think, boy, that's strange. But I was taught as a child that I had a free ticket to heaven until I reached the age of 12. See, I'm getting some response. You heard the same thing. You were told the same thing. Yes, I was. You have a free ticket to heaven until you get, the second you turn 12, buddy, you're on your own. I mean, that's the way we, am I right, sis? You're on your own. And matter of fact, I was taught that all my sins were laid on my parents. Oh, y'all were taught? Some of y'all taught that too? I was taught my sins were laid on my parents until I reached 12 years of age. And that posed a problem for me. Because I asked my mama, Mama, how do I get saved? And this was well before I became 12 years of age. But I asked my mama, Mama, how do I get saved and know I'm saved? And she said, Well, you know. I said, Well, Mama, and we went to the mourner's bench. Anybody else old enough to have gone to the mourner's bench? Some of y'all. Amen. And I said, Mama, when I go to the mourner's bench during revival meetings, what am I supposed to say? Because I want to make sure I get it. I want to make sure that I get it, Lord, Mama. So Mama, she wasn't an educated woman, loving lady, but she wasn't an educated woman. So she said, just say, save me, Lord Jesus, save me, Lord Jesus, save me, Lord Jesus. Well, yeah. Y'all talking in tongues? Y'all? Yep. What were you taught? Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus. Well, here's the thing. And y'all know my story because some of y'all share my story because it happens to you. Happened to you. And the rest of you, just don't think we were crazy. That's just the way we were taught. But the indication, the evidence that you were saved is you were kneeled on the front row, kneel down, screaming out to Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord, save me, Lord. And everybody knew you got saved when you jumped up in there and started shouting. Now, let me clarify something here. I'm not saying those folks didn't get saved. Well, I know one or two of them didn't because he was outside laughing at me. We all went to the mourner's bench together, and he was outside laughing at me because he got tired, he got up and shouted. But I just felt like I was a hard nut to crack. I mean, like, Lord, what is wrong with me? I'm down here, I'm praying, I'm about to turn 12. I was 11 then. Lord, I'm about to turn 12, and I don't want to go to hell, so save me, Lord Jesus, save me, Lord Jesus, save me, Lord Jesus, save me, Lord Jesus. Well, guess what? I didn't shout because I was waiting on something to hit me. I was waiting on something to move me off of that bench. It didn't happen. And guess what? I turned 12. I will share this much. My mom and my dad, y'all remember August meetings and revival times? Amen. My mom and dad took me to our home church. Nothing happened. So they said, all right, we'll take you to such and such a church over there, and you can get it there. Went a whole week, didn't get it. Then they took me to another church that was having a week's revival. Went there, didn't get it. And I'm beginning to think, man, God must have something against me. And now I'm 12 years of age, and we were in the home church, and I'm not going to call this sweet little lady's name, but Paul and Barbara know her, and you do too, Corey. She got tired of me. I guess she just got tired of seeing me up there, and I'm down on my knees begging God to save me. And by the way, they sing over you while you pray. They sing over you while you pray. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Somebody needs you, Lord, come by here. So, and I'm down there. I don't know if you remember, Paul, I don't know if I was the last one down there. I may have been, but this lady, and she was singing, and she was singing over me, and some other folks were singing too, and finally she just reached down and grabbed me. Get up, son, you got it. Get up, shout. And I'm faking it the whole time. And they put us in the choir. We sat up there beside the choir members. And I'm thinking, she got me up, but I'm not sure I got this thing. So I'm sitting beside one of the ladies in the choir, and so I'm still praying, not as loud, but save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus. And this lady beside me looked at me with a mean face, said, shut up, you got it. So I shut up and was baptized later on in water. But I still didn't have the assurance of my salvation. You hear me? But God is such a good God. I say, God is such a good God. And many of you know my testimony, because he knew I wanted to be saved. Because I almost died one time, and I begged God not to let me die. Because I became paralyzed, and I begged God not to let me die, and I was healed. And this was before I got saved. I knew I was saved. But anyway, some time went by, and y'all know, those of you that come here, you know the rest of the story. I was watching a Billy Graham crusade, and dear Jesus, he broke it down into bite-sized pieces where I could understand it. And he gave the altar call after his message in 1969. And he extended the invitation. And if any of you remember him, after he gave the invitation at his meeting, then he would turn and look at the camera and say, if you are watching, and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just receive him by faith. Ask him to come into your heart. Receive him by faith. And I thought, glory to God, I can do that. And I was home by myself. I'm so glad I was home by myself. And I watched the program till it went off the air, went into my bedroom, knelt down at my mama's bed, Not mine, because we lived in a little house. Everybody was in the same bedroom. Ain't that right, sis? Mom and Daddy was in bedroom. Cora was. All of us shared one bedroom. That was one tiny little house. So there was two beds in one room. I had my bed, and I think you slept with Mom and Daddy. You know, she was little back then. She was real young. And I knelt down to my mama's bed, beside my mama's bed, and I was there by myself, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And something happened on the inside of me. And this is, see, we're talking about the grace of God here, folks. Yeah. Something happened on the inside of me that I knew, that I knew, that I knew I was born again. I didn't need anybody to tell me I had it. Matter of fact, when Mama came home, I told her I had it. Because she didn't quite understand what I was talking about, because she remembered I'd gone down to the mourner's bench, but I never was sure I had it. I told her, Mama, I got it. And she said, that's good. And that was the end of the conversation. But I knew I had it, folks. And it was all because of God's grace, His love, His favor. God didn't give up on me. Oh, by the way, let me tell you something. God never gives up on you. We give up on Him. He never gives up on us. Those of you that's watching me, whatever camera, I don't know if I'm pointing the right one or not, but I'm telling you something. God has not given up on you. He hasn't given up on you. He did not give up on me. And it was His grace. And so Paul told Timothy, be strong in that grace. Let me tell you something. Nobody can take my salvation from me. Nobody can cause me not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know what He has done in my life. I know the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of me, and I am growing stronger and stronger and stronger in that grace. I didn't earn this thing. It was given to me by God who loves me. Hallelujah. That's the reason you don't let nobody talk you out of your salvation. Don't let nobody talk you out of your healing. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything that God's given you by His grace. Hallelujah. You probably was told, and maybe not, hope not, but I know some people I've heard say this, well, I'm gonna watch you because I know it ain't gonna last. When you share what Jesus Christ has done for you. But you know what? You've remained strong in that grace. Yes. Because you was delivered by His grace. There was God's favor upon you. If God didn't favor you, we would all be miserable right now. You hear me? If we didn't have God's favor, God's love, we would all be miserable people right now. And it was His grace. And even if we mess up, and all of us have, I think I can safely say that. I think every one of y'all, unless you just got saved, I think every one of y'all have made some mistakes since you were born again. That includes me too. But let me tell you something. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. His grace is still at work. Strong people know their God. Strong people are not bound by the past. They're not bound by their old life. Because they understand the grace of God. Because they understand it wasn't my doing. It's His grace, His love that has set me free. Glory to God. Glory. Y'all still here? So we have to understand that. Now, I realize, you know, some people, some preachers really, have taken the grace message off in the wrong direction. That's not an excuse to sin. Okay? It's not an excuse to sin. Well, I'm saved by grace, so I can go and do whatever I want to because I know God. No. That's not the way it works. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. What did the Apostle Paul say? Well, I know your response is, he said a lot. But in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2 says, certainly not. Grace set us free, but it's not an excuse to sin. We don't use it for that purpose. And he goes on to say, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So we don't use grace as an excuse. Some even preach right now that 1 John 1:9 don't mean what we say it means. I just quoted it earlier. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some preach that don't apply to Christians. Yes, it does. 1 John 1, did I say 1 John 1 9? Okay. Hallelujah. It certainly does. Folks, I'm getting ready to quit here, but once again, I didn't get as far as I intended to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to know something. This book of 1 John was written to the believers. Okay? So if we mess up, we still have an advocate with the Father. But never use that as an excuse to mess up. You're still here. Glory to God. Glory to God. But let me read it to you again so that you know. I'm reading the 9th verse, 1 John. I'm reading it from the New King James Bible. If we confess our sins, He was faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for His grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If y'all got anything yet? I thought I was going to get well beyond where we are right now. I almost repeated last week, but but it was stirring up on the inside of me. Somebody needed to hear this. You know, let me say this. I'm getting ready to close. Let me say this. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit for a reason. And if you're a minister, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with notes. I have notes. I minister from notes. Every time I minister, I minister from notes. I have my notes. But sometimes we've got to be flexible enough that if the Spirit of God nudges us a little bit to dwell on a certain area, maybe a little longer, or he may move you into another area, you have to understand there's probably someone present or watching that needs to hear what you're saying. Hallelujah. I'm here to do God's thing, not my thing. Hallelujah. I'm here to do his thing. Praise the name of the Lord. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're born again. If you've given your life to him and received him by faith, you are born again. And it doesn't matter how many times the devil or anybody else tell you you are not. Let God be true and every man or devil be a liar. Because there was a time in my life when the devil tried to talk me out of my salvation. What do I mean by that? Tried to convince me that I didn't really get saved. And this was some years later. Guess what? He was not successful. And I want to tell you something. I was having a head problem, but my heart was right with God. I knew on the inside. I was already baptized with the Holy Ghost, and man, preaching the gospel, folks getting saved, sick getting healed, and then I was dealing with this. Finally, I had enough of it, and I rebuked the devil. How many of you know the Bible tells us to resist the devil, and what will he do? Let me say that again, because somebody, I just got an unction in my spirit. Somebody need to hear that again, because you are dealing with some things, and what you need to do is go ahead and resist the devil right now. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And that takes us over into another area, an area of authority. As a believer, we have authority in Christ Jesus. And we have authority over the devil. He just can't come in, just burst in into your life and just kick you around any way he wants to. We are to take a stand against him. Hallelujah. That old "the devil made me do it" stuff don't hold up. We need to, as they say, put our foot down and say no to the devil. We have a promise from the Word of God that he'll flee. You hear me? I say we have a promise from the Word of God. He will flee. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting ready to close. I just want to go one other place. I know somebody really need to hear this. It's found in James, the 4th chapter, 7th verse. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see that? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Well, I told him to get, and he didn't get. Tell him to get again in the name of Jesus. Because we have the word on it. He's got to go. He's got to go. Father, we thank you for your word. That would never, ever.